Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border. There actually are no borders on podcasting, but we are back at it again as this podcast heard every single week on the iHeart Podcast Network. We thank you for being a loyal minion, for supporting the content that we provide. And it's weird, you know, I have mixed feelings about this because part of me is happy that the audience is continuing to grow and that there's a demand for these podcasts. The other part of me is like, crap, that means I have to keep doing the podcast. So I have mixed emotions because if nobody was listening, if the numbers were down, if it was crap, then I wouldn't have to do it. The company wouldn't want me to do it. But the numbers keep going up steadily. So we do thank you for that. And we are joined yet again by the man who made the Bee famous. He's got his singer, David Gascon, from west of the 405.
Well, since this podcast continues to grow, do you think this podcast is adequate and sufficient enough to be carried live on radio? A podcast made for live radio. How about that?
Occasionally we curse. But I would be, if it involved more money, I'd be all about it. Put it on the radio. I'm all for it. I've changed my stance. I used to always say never put radio on television because it's radio. But if they pay, and I've had friends that have done radio shows that ended up being simulcast on television, and they get a nice big fat check in a bonus to their radio work. So if you can get paid double for the same thing, who wouldn't sign off on that?
Does Sports with Coleman do that? Or who does a simulcast on a show?
Oh, well, guys in Boston, Jerry Callahan, when he had WEI back in the day, his show was on NESN, and so he was getting a check from NESN in addition to WEI, and so, and there's a few other people that have dabbled in that, and you can put a camera in the studio overnight, and I got a camera in here anyway because of the videos we do on YouTube. So we've got that. Before we get to today's podcast, we had Seth Dillon on from the Babylon Bee. How did that go, by the way? Did that do well, the Seth Dillon thing?
It was surprisingly excellent. Not by my standards. I knew it was going to be great, but people have downloaded it. It's been a great surprise to see the elevation. And of course, not to be overlooked, but we had Benny versus the Penny last night too.
Yes, that's right. Benny versus the Penny again, back at it. Big weekend. It's going to be a big gambling weekend, Gascon. I'm going to get back. I've been like a seesaw so far this season picking games. You're up and you're down and you're up and you're down, which is really the way of life. But we'll see. And you check that out. That's up there on the YouTube. We tweeted it out, of course, and you can check that out. And it not just before the games. A lot of people obviously would want to watch it before if you're planning on gambling on the NFL. However, many people enjoy looking at my analysis after the fact when they know the outcome and they can goof on me and say how dumb that analysis was. So there's two ways to do it.
Are they goofing on you or are they goofing on your lack of furniture? Because it seems like every time we're on air, people are always thinking that you're homeless. Or that you're just robbed or something.
That's my man cave. That's my spare man cave. And you're just people are jealous. People are just jealous. Maybe I'll put a photo 1 week of Bella behind me, and I can have Bella staring. How about that?
It's a small dog. She can't even get around your back.
Bella's a beast. What are you talking about?
She's
Bella
like the size of your
beast.
Foot.
What's that?
She's like the size of your foot.
No, no. Bella's fur has grown out. Bella's very large and in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. So before we get into the meat of the matter here, cameo.com. I actually did a few cameos recently and for a couple people. Maddie and the Natty was one of the guys there, one of the Cincinnati bros, although I didn't realize it was Maddie from the Natty. So if you're a P1 that, you know, if I kind of know who you are because of social media or whatever, or you call in, everyone's like, you got to let me know. Because some of that, like Maddie in the Natty, it was Matthew when I got the cameo request. So I was like, I don't know Matthew. But then I knew Maddie in the Natty. It changes the dynamic there. So just a heads up for future cameo users. Just give me a little info that, like, who you are, how I would know you if I do know you. And if not, I mean, it's fine. There's a lot of people I don't know. Thank God, most of the people that listen, I'll never have any contact with. That's usually how it works. That's how it's supposed to work, generally. So that's cameo.com. Search my name, Ben Maller, if you want a personalized video message for... I do weddings, bar mitzvahs, pep talks, battle cries, all of that. And it's available for you on Cameo.
Would you consider doing a cameo for Kent Sommers?
Oh, let me tell you, that is the Fit to Print. So let me just set it up. We have Fit to Print, we've got No Breaks and Pop Quiz, and we begin here the Saturday podcast with our show, a rant on the radio becoming a news story in the state of Arizona.
Oh, boy.
This is outstanding. So let's flash back to Monday Night Football and the Arizona Cardinals with a blowout win, 38-10 over the Dallas Cowboys, a convincing domination situation there. And after the game, now I did a monologue on this guest guy. And obviously, you react to what's going on in the sports world for 24 hours or the last 24 hours or so. So this obviously was a story we talked about. I did a rant mostly about the Cowboys. I had about maybe 3 or 4 good minutes, if I remember, at the end of the monologue, which was dedicated to Kyler Murray, who was not only a quarterback, he was terrible, had a terrible performance for the Arizona Cardinals. And so that was on Monday night or Tuesday morning, depending on how you look at it. It was in the overnight. So all the way later, fast forward till Thursday, and I'm getting these notifications that the Arizona Republic, the newspaper of record in Phoenix and the state of Arizona, ran a story, and I couldn't believe it. This is a 1,000-word story on our show and me ripping Kyler Murray's performance in the game against the Dallas Cowboys. And the tone was that they seemed to be very upset that I was not impressed, Gascon, with Kyler Murray's performance against the Dallas Cowboys. And it's hilarious. I had a smile from ear to ear. I could not believe the stupidity of what has gone on. I have friends that work in the newspaper business. What has gone on in the newspaper business? What have you done?
I will admit that I am one to defend Kyler Murray on the regular.
But, you're a fanboy.
But his performance on Monday night reminded me of what Kobe Bryant did in his Game 7 against the Boston Celtics when they beat Boston in 7 games. He shot 6 of 24 in that game, and he would admit he shot like shit. Murray was 9 of 24, and it's not like the 15 incompletions were just bad throws. He missed some wide open people, including DeAndre Hopkins, who was the best wide receiver in the National Football League, who was left unmolested at the line of scrimmage on multiple occasions.
Yeah, and this is one of the worst defenses, historically one of the worst defenses in the history of pro football, which goes back 100 years, the Dallas Cowboy defense. And Kyler Murray, for the balance of that game, was garbage. And so I pointed it out. And I was watching the game, and I'm like, I'm taking some notes down, and I'm like, you know, a little chicken scratch on the game and Murray's performance, and he kept missing receivers, and I'm like, okay, and I'm going on and on. And then when the game ended, I went back and I crunched the numbers and realized that almost 75% of Kyler Murray's passing yards came on 2 blown coverages by the Cowboys to Christian Kirk, an 80-yard pass, and DeAndre Hopkins, a 60-yard pass. Outside of those 2 throws, right? We'll give him credit for that. We'll give Kyler a pat on the back and attaboy for those 2 throws. Outside of that, the rest of the game, the other throws he made, 22 of them, he only completed 7 of them for an average. I had to type this in 3 times to the calculator. Kyler Murray averaged 2.1 yards per pass attempt on his other 22 throws in the game and had a passer rating of 41 for the Cardinals. So me pointing this out, I was like, to me, this is like a throwaway thing. You know, people know I'm the I don't like Kyler Murray guy. I'm critical of Kyler Murray. And I've, you know, taken some gratuitous cheap shots at him. But this, he deserved it. He deserved it. I wasn't doing anything outrageous. I wasn't doing shock jock radio. The guy sucked, but so many people don't watch these games. They don't pay attention. They look at the final numbers and they see the total. They say, oh, he ran for a touchdown. He threw the touchdowns here. He's unstoppable. What another memorable performance, right? And going on. Another masterwork from Kyler Murray. And I'm like, no, none of that. None of that is true. None of that. This is not a goosebumps-inducing performance. In fact, that is not a sustainable formula for the Arizona Cardinals. They're a fraud. If that's how Kyler Murray is going to play, they're not going to go. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to beat anybody good playing like that. So I did this rant, and like we said, the Arizona newspaper ran with it. I sent you the story. You did not actually click on the story. You thought it was right, Gascon. You did not realize what the story was when I sent this to you.
No, I was guilty of reading the title only. And then through conversation, I started looking at it, and bang, your name popped up, and I was like, "Oh shit, there we go."
Oh, my name's in the right in the lead there.
Yeah,
my name's radio host Ben Maller was not impressed with Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray's performance in a 38-10
on Twitter, on the text you had sent me, it says Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray slammed for poor performance versus Dallas Cowboys. It had nothing of you on there, and so not until I open it up, and then I rehashed the memories from 2019 when you had some reporters taking some shots back at you. And
Well, it's also, I'd like to thank the Arizona Republic. I should be on their editorial staff because I'm providing content here for the Arizona Republic. I guess there's nothing to write about in Arizona, apparently, locally. My God. It was pretty amusing here. I got a kick out of it. And I was like, really? This is what you're doing? So I talked to a couple of buddies of mine in radio who saw the story. And we were going back and forth. And one of my buddies, who's a longtime radio guy, pointed out that we are at the point now, as sports gas bags, where there is no room for any criticism of the hometown team. It is totally tribal. It's like politics. Sports have become politics. Like, there used to be a time where we could bust each other's balls, and I still like doing that. I guess I'm too old now, because I like busting balls on when your team sucks, and I get it. Listen, I talk a lot of crap, and when the Clippers go out and take a ride in the Vomit Comet against the Denver Nuggets, they deserve to get ripped. I deserve to get attacked. I'm fine. I'm fair game, but it cuts both ways, right? It's a double-edged sword, and people can't handle that, and they get all upset, and it's really pathetic, but I mean, it's we're talking about sports, and especially in cases where it's obvious that it's like, this guy was terrible. This was this is incompetence. This was malfeasance by the quarterback. And I pointed out, I'm the bad guy. Come on,
you're making it sound like it's a dereliction of duty. It wasn't that. I mean, he averaged nearly 80. Or he averaged 7.4 yards
because
a carry
of
in the
two
game.
Because of the passes, though.
Yeah,
the dual threat quarterback. The thing that's the most important is the passing. The running's the extra part of it.
No,
the passing's the most important
thing. The most important thing is getting points anyway.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. The running, and we've seen these quarterbacks often get exposed, like Lamar Jackson. People like you, dumb fans, look at Lamar Jackson. They're like, this guy's amazing. Then in the playoffs, they take that away, and suddenly he's a jumbled mess, right? He's a hot mess in the playoffs.
Well, that is one quarterback that's been the postseason. Kyler Murray hasn't yet. But, I mean, he was great at Oklahoma. He's been good so far with Arizona. And they're a lot better than they would have been with Josh Rosen had he stayed there in the Valley of the Sun. So you can't.
Well, you don't know that. If Rosen had stayed and they'd have confidence in him, you don't know that he wouldn't have blossomed into something. But
I know
but
what I just he did to Miami.
I understand that. And he's been a bad guy. But these people that are like Pavlov's dogs when it comes to the hometown team, stop.
Yeah, but
okay?
But hold on.
Stop.
But you know this all too well, being in Dodger Town, people will gravitate towards Clayton Kershaw, and God forbid.
But that's a perfect example. I'm glad. Listen, I like the Dodgers. A lot of people know my history. I did work for Dodger Talk years ago, and so I have a past there. But I'll rip Kershaw up. I had him traded after his NLCS start. I had him traded to Texas. I traded him to the Rangers. I had Dave Roberts fired. Okay? I the whole thing. You know, maybe those are slight overreactions, but I'd rather be like that, Gascon, than, oh, you can't rip Kershaw. I had a guy call up the other night on the show and was ranting and raving about how Kershaw's great, he's getting a bad rap, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, I know you're a Dodger fan, you want to jump in the volcano because they tell you to jump in the volcano, but stop, don't be a blind sheep. You should never be a blind sheep, ever. I like the Clippers. When they suck, I say they suck. Stop, don't be a lemming.
But here's the problem, though, is if you're a beat reporter or if you're just a regular newspaper reporter that oftentimes will report on general things, like let's say for Arizona, you go Diamondbacks, you go Arizona or Arizona State, then you go obviously with the Cardinals and maybe the Coyotes or even the Phoenix Suns, like you want access to those teams. So if you start trashing them publicly in articles, you know how the media departments are. They will cut you off at the knees, and you'll get granted minimal to no access.
Yeah. No, I understand how the game works, but there's a lot of fanboys. It's kind of like in politics. There's a lot of political people who are actually working for political parties who are masquerading as, you know, as newspaper writers for different operations or reporters on television, but they're actually, you know, in the tank, if you will. So I understand there's that. You also have that element, which is important here. You've got people that genuinely are, you know, they might as well be on the payroll for the team. It's like we used to talk years ago. I had an executive who was like, hey, you know, eventually everything's going to be, you know, it's like when you cover the Patriots, you're Patriots.com. You know, you work for the team. And even the newspapers and the TV stations. I had a friend of mine in Kansas City told me that after the Chiefs game, I think it was in Buffalo, one of the TV reporters in Kansas City congratulated Andy Reid on his game plan before he asked his question. Like, he was like, it's like total fanboy move. Total fanboy move.
Wow.
So that stuff goes on all the time, but it really is tribalism. I think I sent this to you. I don't know if I did, but one of my favorite scenes in a movie, an old movie now, is the opening scene of Major League.
Yeah.
Remember, and the grounds crew is preparing the field there at the ballpark in Cleveland, and they're like, and they showed also, I think there was a coffee shop, and they're like, hey, how are the Indians going to do this year? And they're like,
they suck. Yeah.
They're still shitty, They're still shitty. And that's perfect, right? That's great. You know, one of the things I like about Minnesota sports fans is I feel like Minnesota still gets it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, hey, we blow, you know, the Vikings, how are they going to lose this week? Or how are the Twins going to blow it in the playoffs? Or, you know, what lottery pick are the Timberwolves going to screw up? Like, I appreciate that, but it's in towns like Phoenix and Cleveland and some of these other cities that I've had battles with the local newspapers. They just have no concept. They have no concept of this. It's total tribalism, is what it is. You're either part of the tribe or you're not part of the tribe. And if you're not part of the tribe, we're gonna decapitate you. We're gonna take you to the guillotine.
I think that's a good thing about how New York media is, because you have so many beat writers that work for the Yankees or for the Knicks or for the Rangers or the Jets, the Giants, that you're taking shots left and right if you're a head coach or a general manager, even the ownership group, and they don't fucking let down either. Like, that city never sleeps. Those attackers, they hunt.
Yeah, but even that, I will tell you, and I'm not as familiar with the New York media as I am in the Boston media because of the stuff I did with EEI back in the day, but even the Boston media, there are factions of fanboys. It's not as bulldogish as it was.
Well,
it's
because
not
they
as bulldogish.
Because they control.
Yeah, well, that's right. The Globe owned, or the Red Sox own the Globe. John Henry, I believe, owns the Boston Globe, which is the big newspaper, obviously. It's the Herald and the Globe, and so you control the media. And also, Nesson is run by the Red Sox. It's their baby, and so, you know, you gotta look out for my relatives, my
all
man.
All right, so how about this? Let me throw this back your way. If you were an owner, or maybe even just a general manager of a professional team, and your said team owns an ownership stake in a radio or a television station or even a newspaper like the Washington Post or whatever it may be, Would you go behind everyone's back and go to the editor or the executive producer and just say, hey, turn the dogs loose on my guys? Be as critical as you can. That way you can motivate them to be as best as they can be.
Yeah. No, because if you own it, once the public knows that you own the website or the TV channel or the newspaper, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Can't do it. But I get nobody wants criticism. You know, people want to be encouraged. They don't want to be discouraged. Nobody likes condemnation.
What about a critique, though? A critique is fine.
I thought it was fine. I thought criticism and critiquing and all that, I feel like it's kind of part of the gig, but maybe the gig has changed. I know there's a lot of hypocrisy out in the world these days. There's like this double standard. Talk about sports, but only do it in a positive light about my teams. You know, I was like, I really want you to talk about my team. I get that all the time. I get guys, you know, that guy in Ohio that busts my balls. He's a Steeler fan. He's, you know, near Pittsburgh in the Ohio, you know, the far end of Ohio there. And he's like, you know, talk about the Steelers and all this stuff. And then, you know, if I do a monologue and then I rip him, he'll have a coronary. You know, he'll have a coronary. How could you do that? Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I used to like you. And that it's tremendous. It is wonderful to be alive. It is great to be alive. You've got to wear kid gloves all the time, apparently, to make it. But I get a kick out of it. I like the fact when I saw that story we were referencing here in the Arizona Republic, and I just thought it was great. It was like getting a shoulder massage. It was because I'm never going to get people to slobber all over me and say, this guy's the greatest, you know, talk show host of all time. No, that's for Cowherd and people like that. I'm the guy, you know, throwing bombs in the middle of the night is essentially what I'm doing. But I don't even realize I'm throwing bombs. That's the thing about it, Gascon. Like, I don't think what I'm doing is all that, you know, shock jockish or anything like that. I'm just giving opinions about sporting events. I'm watching games. I'm taking down notes and giving opinions on what I watch. That's it. And you'd think that I am the scumbag of the world, right? Yeah. I'm just a tool bag and I'm horrible and I'm a large pus-filled cyst because I'm talking about these people the way I am.
Yeah, I would interpret shock jock radio as like if you were critiquing if you're critiquing someone's attire, like a reporter or a host, you're attacking their attire or their presentation, their sexual orientation, like bullshit like that has nothing to do with sports as a whole or just even specific to an individual. I think of that more as like shock jock, like I need to get a quick hit out of this so it goes viral and then all of a sudden social media is fixated on that one way or another.
I'm on in the middle of the night. I'm just talking. There's no one listening. I'm just talking in the middle of the night. And these local guys who are insufferable, the local media who's insufferable with this, it's great. And as you pointed out, Gascon, and I give you credit for this because I didn't even realize I was reading that story we referenced in the Arizona Republic, and I didn't even realize that these Schmendricks in the Valley of the Stupid, not the Valley of the Sun, the Valley of the Stupid, who wrote this story, they quoted me and put alligator arms in the newspaper. Alligator arms Murray is in the Arizona Republic, the paper of record, which is flabbergasting. The nickname, the reason we call him Alligator Arms Murray is...
No, the people.
Me and the Arizona Republic. The reason me and the newspaper record in Arizona call him Alligator Arms Murray, at the NFL Scouting Combine, did he not have the shortest arms ever measured at the Combine or close to it, right? Remember that was the thing. Yeah, they did the wingspan and he had the shortest, he had little alligator arms.
I'm not gonna dignify those comments.
This is great. Oh, boy. I feel like Fozzie Bear. Waka, waka, waka. When I see stuff like this, I mean, my God. It is slapstick comedy. It is slapstick comedy. These people. Let's run a story. Maller ripped the hometown quarterback. Let's kill him.
I was a little disappointed because in the comment section when you sent me the article, there was only 3 comments.
Oh no, no, you got to go on the Twitter. I'm getting blowback from these slapdicks, these Cardinal guys who are very upset. You know. They're the people I'm talking about, the low information fan.
But even Murray said in the article that he was critical of himself and that he missed open guys.
Exactly. But only he's allowed to be critical. I can't be critical. Listen, anybody that's ever played football, watched football, played Madden football, who's objective, would say that is not a sustainable way to play quarterback in the NFL. You cannot win. You can't. It's unsustainable, right? It's untenable. And so pointing that out, and this is like a big thing. This is terrible. How could you do that? It's like people are demanding a sugar rush, and they're demanding. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're being accurate. They just want to hear rah rah hometown team. Rah, rah, hometown. That's a dead-end street, though. I'm telling you, it's a dead-end street. Everyone knows it.
I don't know. This is bulletin board material. Kyler Murray is 4-2. Arizona is in great spot to
bulletin board. Yes, yes. No, that I did think about that. I thought about like the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, you know, getting up, you know, old guy, reading the newspaper with his cup of coffee and a bagel, and reading this and, you know, regurgitating.
Alligator arms. Oh,
I wish they had done the rant. One of my great Arizona Cardinal rants was when Cliff Kingsbury put the social media breaks in.
Oh, yeah.
During meetings. Oh, I did some of my greatest work, but that did not, unfortunately, that was not fit to print. I could not persuade the hacks at the Arizona Republic to put that in, unfortunately.
Well, so. I'm in a weird and odd way for 2020 to end. I think the perfect nightmare scenario for you in the Super Bowl would be Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray, Houston and Arizona in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That would be a hell of a year to 2020.
Like that would be impressive. Yes. Especially considering Houston's 1-5 to start the year. That would be outstanding. Yes. That would be great. Good luck on that.
This tops the gallbladder. This tops biting your tongue after you burn pizza. This would be the
What about the shits? What about the shits? Nah. Does this stop the shits?
No.
I've had the shits since I had my gallbladder taken out. We're coming up. I have to do the anniversary show of my gallbladder being taken out, which is coming up November 3rd, which I believe there's something else going on November 3rd that's of slight more importance. But you know, what am I to say? For me, that's the most important thing. But yeah, this is okay. This is great.
Over under 1.5 more articles written about you before the end of the year.
Oh, well, if I just do rants about the Arizona Cardinals, I guess that's I'll take the over. Well, what do we got? Oh, it's football season. Yeah. Yeah, did anybody in Houston write when I was ripping the Astros? I don't know if anybody wrote a story about that in Houston. I know some Houston media guys were upset with me.
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that. I think I'm good for at least one more, and I think I can, you know, my day of reckoning, I think I can get another one.
Okay, because you only get Arizona one more time in prime time, so that's why I'm asking, because typically your monologues on Sundays to Mondays.
I could see Tampa doing something. You know, I'd take a shot at Brady. I could see somebody in Tampa doing it. But I only do this if they deserve it, Gisk. I want you to know I'm fair and balanced.
Oh, I get
okay?
that.
I'm not down there. I'm not like a snake in the grass just waiting to eviscerate. I'm not.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm curious of where this goes, because it's not like you said, your audience, it has a specific sleep pattern or lack of sleep pattern. So someone was obviously monitoring you or the show at that time.
Well, one of the cool things I've noticed here is that, you know, people say, well, I love the criticism. Well, you do an overnight show. No one's up at 4 a.m. And it's true. Most people aren't up at 4 a.m. I get that. But now the great equalizer has been the fact that we're doing these videos online. And so that really is the equalizer now, because now it's not just an overnight show. Now we've got our boomerang out, and we've got our catapult and our crossbow and our mullet and or musket or whatever. And we're just we're shooting bombs during the day.
It would be kind of nice, you know, if you did have a mullet.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind a mullet at all, man. That would be good. But no, so like before, At being the overnight guy, the way it works, the pecking order, you're holding a butter knife. You're holding the butter knife when you're doing the overnight show. But because of social media and the internet and these videos that we've been doing for the IT department, for Elijah and those guys, now instead of holding a butter knife, we're holding a machete. And every once in a while, we get to hold the samurai sword. So it's we've gone up. We're no longer just holding the butter knife. We got the machete and occasionally the samurai sword. So that's cool. That's neat. We're swashbuckling, right? We're going through with our machete. We're walking through the Amazon, and we're chopping down trees. And yeah,
you are getting decimated on social media on that.
Oh, I know, it's great.
All right,
I love it, man. This stupidity. I know a lot of that's like algorithms and all that, but I think it's pretty funny that people who are just uneducated rubes do that.
They don't even realize it.
They don't even realize that. Every one of those, I laugh when I see those.
Yeah. If it was my quarterback, I would be pissed off that he was missing wide open guys. I mean, they put up 38 points on Dallas. They should have blown them up by 50 or 40 at least.
Yeah, what was it? 24 of those 38 points were a direct result of mistakes by the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Kenyon
interceptions,
Drake,
fumbles.
Kenyon Drake closed the game out with like a 60-yard run.
Yeah, exactly. That was where you're just trying to run out the clock and the defense laid up. And yeah, so really, if you do the math on this, 24 points off turnovers. So the Arizona offense, without the assist of the Cowboys, generated 14 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of those, was that Kenyon Drake touchdown, was that after a turnover, or was that, I don't think that was after a turnover.
No, it was after a touchdown.
It was
after the touchdown,
right?
From Dallas.
Yeah. So that doesn't even count. So really only one touchdown the Arizona offense generated that was not either off an interception, fumble, or just the Cowboy defense not even trying. So
I'm going to like them in the wild card game anyway, so.
Yeah, good luck. Right now, I don't think they're a playoff team, so you're screwed. What's that?
I was going to say, it's week six. Who gives a shit?
I give a shit. You know, I care. You know, am I chopped liver here? Am I mincemeat?
No, but it's week six. I mean, who cares about if the playoffs started today? They're 4-2.
Oh, I care. I look at that every week. You don't look at the playoff matchups and if we're going to have some good matchups. There was only one bye now. That's a big thing, right? Only one team gets a bye. That's big.
But part of it's because the NFC East just sucks. And so I'm not worried about like playoff positioning.
Well, actually, Arizona is, excuse me, they are in the playoffs, Arizona, because they have those extra teams in there. So they are in.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't realize that. The win over the Cowboys catapulted them in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. I'm looking at the playoff matchups as of right now. It would be
if we started today in the National.
If we started today, the Rams and the Bears, who play on Monday night, would be a playoff game right now.
Yeah,
Arizona would play Tampa. Green Bay would play Dallas. That's subject to the outcome of that Thursday night game. As we're doing this, we don't know the outcome of the Thursday night game. And then the AFC would have Indianapolis, Tennessee, Cleveland would be at Kansas City, and Baltimore at Buffalo. That would be that would guarantee. See, that would suck because that would guarantee either Lamar Jackson or the Bills, Allen, win a game in the playoffs. So, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson would be guaranteed a playoff win. Yeah. All right, now moving on, Gascon. Moving on. We have no breaks. No breaks. No days off. No segments off. None of that. So,
this is breaks, BREAKS, right? Not BRAKES?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Not like the car. This is. So, the other night, if you listen to the radio show, got the hiccups all of a sudden, you probably heard this. So, we had some more radio drama. On the overnight. Now, usually this involves Gascon not knowing how to screen calls or not knowing how to put calls in the air. But this time, the other night, I was putting the finishing touches on a Marconi-worthy Maller monologue. And as I'm winding down the monologue, I give out the number. I usually do that at the end of the monologue and say, you know, send us messages, you know, come on, militia, whatever. Rah, rah. Do the old battle cry. So I did that, give out the number. And I was, you know, about to do my tease. I like to tease something I'm going to talk about later in the hour. You tease to please, right? Tease, you gotta please. And so then this voice pops up in my headphones. Don't break, keep going. It's the voice of God. No, it's Koopa Loop telling me not to break. So obviously something is going on. I don't know what's going on at this point. So I start rambling. I was kind of ready to wind down, and I start rambling about gibberish. I think I read some comments on Twitter. And so keep in mind, I'm in the remote FSR studios at the Maller Mansion. So I'm totally in the dark on what's going on. Totally in the dark. I don't know what's going on. But I got to kill time because You know, that's the deal. We're doing commercial-free radio. And it turns out that the main computer system that our engineers, such as Roberto, use to play all of the sound effects, the music, and most importantly, the spots, a.k.a. the commercials. You know why they're called spots, by the way, Gascon? You know why they call commercial spots in radio?
I do not.
Because in the old days when we used carts, there would be a little, they would be color-coded by, and numbered, but they'd be color-coded with different colored spots, those little dots, you know, those little sticker dots?
Yeah.
And little spots. So take some, you know, the green, get a couple green spots, red spots, blue spots, whatever, but they're numbered, but yeah, in different categories. Anyway, so talk about a non sequitur. So anyway, we didn't have any commercials. They didn't poop the bed, and Roberto's running around like a banshee trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And so I'm just talking, la 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 la. And apparently he had to go out of that studio. He had to go down the hall. He had to patch some things. He goes down the hall, turns right. Then he had to do a left and then another turn. And he walks down the hallway to this other room with the master control, the backup. And he was able to play some commercials. We had no bumper music for most of that hour. We did it dry. I threw to Eddie. There was no sound effects or anything like that. It was about 30 minutes. About 30 minutes where we did have some commercials because it was fired remotely. But then the thing reset and was able to get it fixed. And it's the magic of live radio, my man. They say the show must go on. You got to keep on trucking, Gascon. You got to keep on trucking. That's not the record. Me and Looney back in the day on the Blitz, the system went in the toilet and circled the drain, and we ended up doing, I believe the record is 45 minutes or so of commercial-free radio on Fox Sports Radio. No breaks, no nothing, because everything was broken.
But how so difficult is that? It's no different from, you know, like us doing TV, right? Outside of just having picture content you can reference,
what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Like if you're doing 45 minutes of commercial free radio, like how challenging is that for you? Or
no, it's not. If I'm prepared for it, I don't mind. But I'm not prepared for it. It's like if you say, hey, you know, do this, but then you're okay. Well, you gotta adjust on the fly, right? Adapt or die. You go with the tide. Wherever the tide takes you, right?
You texted me parts of that story a few days ago, and as you texted me that story, it was like text by text, I was actually watching a YouTube video on most extreme landings at airports. I don't know why I brought that up, but it was like pretty...
That's also a non sequitur.
It was, but it just made me think of that, like how horrific that would be if you're not... Because you've told me you've had instances like in your young days where you weren't prepared, and so that's why you over-prepare now.
Yes. The first radio show I ever did was by myself. I've done radio. I had done radio with partners and different people. The great Lou Stowers, Last Call Lou... We called him back in the day, Lee Klein and a bunch of other people in my early days.
Yeah.
But the first show I did by myself was like a Saturday morning. And I had prepared and prepared and prepared. And I came out and I just nailed my monologue, my first ever Maller monologue by myself. Put my big boy pants on. I just killed it. And I gave out the number. And I had prepared nothing else for the rest of the show. and I started having the flop sweat. And I put so much effort into the beginning of it, I didn't even go into my brain that there's like another 3 hours you have to fill here. So it was a problem. And I remember the program director that day was Bo Bennett. And he's in there watching. You know, he came in. Great job, Ben. You really did a good job on the monologue. And I can only imagine if he kept listening what he was thinking after that, how bad it was. So, yeah, I said, never again. Never again. I go into every show not needing Eddie to say anything, Coop, Roberto, not needing any callers. I always have enough material to kill the time. And that is my promise. That is my promise.
Yeah. Well, you went from two pump chump to a little endurance. That's good. I'm proud of you.
Well, I think most people start out like that, Gascon. I think that's usually how that works. And build up some endurance and some, you know, it's usually. No? Well, maybe you haven't built up some endurance. You want to talk about that? There's a pill for that if you want.
There is, but I don't feel like being like that for 4 hours.
Yeah. It's all about perseverance, Gasket. It's all about perseverance. You got to persist. You got to, right? You got to be determined.
Not this year. We don't do that anymore, right? That's shamed. If you show any kind of persistence or tough skin, yeah. Thick skin, that's condemned.
Yeah, you're supposed to give up is what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to tap out. Right. That is, yeah.
No mas.
It's never supposed to be grueling. Life is never supposed to be grueling. Yeah. You cannot be stressed out at all. No. It's wrong.
Speaking of being stressed out, I had some of your fanboys and sycophants that were actually begging you now to barbecue the tomahawk. I really appreciate those guys on my behalf kind of reaching out and saying, yeah. It's time. It's time.
I did like the hardo move of you tweeting out steaks. What a narcissistic, insufferable dick, David Gascon.
I was cooking for the fam, parents, brother-in-law, anyone else that wanted to come over. I was marinating the steaks differently, and then I did scallops along the way. It's a little surf and turf action, and I was happy about the performance.
Yeah, I don't like the surf and turf. I'm not a fan.
You don't like scallops?
No, I don't like scallops.
Shrimp?
I don't like fish. I'm not a fish guy. The only fish I eat is tuna. beer battered. Well, I used to eat tuna when I was a kid, but I don't even like tuna because my mom fed it to me every other day when I was in elementary school. My stupid metal lunchbox. It was either peanut butter and jelly, which I still like. I don't eat it much anymore as an adult. And then it was tuna fish sandwich.
And a warm tuna fish sandwich. Right?
Exactly, because my mom, may she rest in peace, she did not quite realize. She put a little ice pack in there, but by the time those early ice packs, it didn't last.
Oh boy.
You drop your kid off at school at 7:30 in the morning and you have lunch at 12:30.
Yeah.
And that thing is, and usually they'd have us put our lunch boxes like outside back in the old days.
Yeah.
Outside the classroom. Just put your lunch boxes out there because nobody stole anything. and it's really great how you eat a warm tuna fish sandwich, the way the mayonnaise kind of works in with the tuna fish and the smell. It's just great. It's just wonderful. All right, can we get to some of the pop quiz? Yes.
Yeah, if you like that.
All right, let's do a few pop quiz because these are actual questions from actual. Well, not, these are things I found on the internet. These are not actual questions from actual people. All right, and you can play along. You can play along. So 13% of people seeking a divorce cited this as the reason.
Bad sex.
No. Their partner doesn't text enough. Is that allowed? Is that a reason not to be married anymore, that your partner does not text?
Not anymore. I mean, you're stuck indoors with that person now.
Or are you stuck indoors? Who knows? In California, you are, with the monarchy in California, but it's possible in
Michigan.
Yeah, well, Michigan, but like if you're below the Mason-Dixon line, you're not, right?
That's true, yeah.
All right, a recent survey says, this is upsetting to me. A recent survey says you will find this inside the refrigerator in 80% of homes in America right now. I can't believe this.
Ranch dressing.
Yeah, yes. How horrible is that? How sad for, what a sad...
I think
snapshot of Americana.
I think I saw you earlier in the week tweeting out one of your listeners that was eating a Ben Maller sandwich with ranch all over it, right?
No, that was not ranch. See, again, you're not good at this. That's a bad job by you. You look at that photo closer, okay? Because can you put it up there? That's from the Sportsbook Bar and Grill.
In Denver, right?
There's two locations, by the way. Do you know there's two locations?
No.
There's two locations.
I did not know there's two locations.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the Sportsbook Bar and Grill, and you look there at the menu. Now, what you're looking at here, Gascon, is the most perfect chicken sandwich you can possibly have. The most perfect chicken sandwich you can possibly have. That is perfection, is what it is. And that is not ranch dressing. Let me be very, very clear here. This is not ranch dressing. That you want to take a guess what that is on top there?
Blue
big
cheese?
Boy? Yes.
All right.
That is correct.
Then here's my question. Is looking at the timestamp of when that tweet was sent to you.
That is the Maller Buffalo Chicken Sandwich.
Why did you not cuss him out for sending you food porn?
Because my name's on it, dummy.
So what?
Why would I curse somebody out when it's a sandwich with my name on it?
Because there's fries, there's a beard, yeah. Just perfect.
That is a fried chicken breast tossed in hot sauce with blue cheese dressing, lettuce and tomato, big side of fries. That's a wonderful sandwich right there. And it's great. And that, they have a lot of good stuff on the menu there. But I think the Maller sandwich, the Maller Buffalo Chicken sandwich is by far the best thing on the menu. That, you can get tater tots, onion rings, all the proper sides there. I'm going to go to Denver just to eat at that location. There's two. There's one in actual Denver proper, and then the original one is in Greenwood Village, Colorado, which is obviously in the same area there in Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. All right, let's see. 1 in 5 single people will use this picture as one of their online dating profile pictures. What is it?
A business headshot.
No, Halloween costume.
That's fucking lame.
Why is it lame? I disagree with you. Let me tell you something. My wife, when I met her, we first started dating, I met her online, and she had a photo. Women's Halloween costumes are very sexy.
A little bit different, yes.
That's what I'm saying. No, but like women put on Halloween costumes, they're showing off what their mama gave them. You know, they're not shameful about that. All right, nor should they be. Sales of this item are up over 200% this year. What is it?
Toilet paper.
No, this one's odd. Pinball machines.
What?
Yeah. Is this like WNBA ratings going up 30% because 3 more people watched? Is that is it the same concept? Is it? I don't know.
Well played.
Thank you. Yes. All right. A new survey says more than 40% of Americans have no idea how to do this with their car or truck. What is it?
I would say either change the tire or change the oil.
No. Jump start the car.
What?
Yeah. That's pretty easy. Like, I'm old, though. I learned how to do that. I mean, when I learned how to drive, like, my mom and dad were like, you have to learn how to change a tire, and you have to learn how to jump start the car. But that was back before we had apps where at a moment's notice, the tow truck will show up at your doorstep and the auto club or whatever you use. Yeah. So, do you know how to jump start a car, Gus?
I do.
Have you ever jump started a car?
I have, yes. I have also.
I think there's
nothing scarier, though, than trying to change a tire on the shoulder of a freeway. That shit is fucking scary.
Yeah, I did that one time in San Diego. I was driving, I was working in San Diego, and my tire, I think it was the back rear tire, blew out. On the 805. And anyway, I pull over and the cars are zooming by and I'm like, all right, I got to change this tire. And I'm like, nah, I'm not changing the tire. I tried and I waited for a tow truck. I'm not going to do it.
So was it driver's side, I assume?
Yeah, it must have been driving. I thought it was the back. I don't remember. It was close enough to the highway where I had the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
So I don't actually remember which side. I might have been the back rear tire, but there's no room there on the side of the road. You're like, you're right, the cars are zooming by. All it takes is one jackass, one donkey to hit you, and you're done.
Yeah, game over.
Lights out. All right, a new survey says more than 40% of Americans have no idea. We just did that one. All right, nearly 20%. Here we go. Nearly 20% of parents say they've saved at least one of these from their kid when their child was a baby.
Teeth.
No, a bib.
Oh, all right.
Did your parents save a little Gascon bib?
I don't think so, no. I was a fucking mess, though.
Well, isn't every kid a fucking mess when they're little kids?
Yeah. My sisters weren't. I was.
Yeah, all right. I mean, my mom saved everything, man. She kept everything.
She's the pack rat?
Yeah, when it comes to, kids, she loved her kids so much. Everything. Baby book, teeth, hair, you name it.
Trophies.
Trophies, yeah. The whole thing. All right, according to a recent survey, what is the one thing people judge about your home?
Your bathroom. Or your kitchen.
No. Want to take another guess?
Your entertainment center.
No, that's what West of the 405 people do. See, this is the difference. This is the dichotomy. West of the 405 is guest gun. The rest of us simpletons, the rest of us simpletons don't believe in.
I'm a bathroom and kitchen guy. That's what I was asking.
No. The number one thing people judge your home on when they go to somebody else's home
is
the smell.
The smell.
Yeah, the smell. Does it smell good?
Huh.
So for you, you should light like a vanilla candle or something so it smells good, guess, rather than your flatulence.
I got the those humidifiers and I put like the little, you know, like the little fragrance drops in there. Those are usually good.
Are they fruity?
No, like there's one that's like coded for like alert, alarm, immunity. That's it. You put them in the water and yeah, it kind of livens up the room, but it doesn't have like some kind of pungent or distinct tasteful smell to it. No.
All right. People who do this at least 10 times a month say they experience withdrawal symptoms if their routine is stopped. What is it?
Drinking.
No, it's not drinking or drugs. Tanning. Who would tan 10 times a month? Doesn't that seem a little excessive?
Yeah, but we got.
Am I wrong? I don't know the tanning game, but that seems a little excessive.
Yeah, we got a lot of people that tan out here, though.
You live in California. Why the fuck would you need to tan?
Because people, you know how it is. It's instant gratification, like it is for Facebook or Twitter or anything else. People want it quick. They don't want to wait.
Now, I'm going to ask you, and this is a very important question.
Yes.
All right. If you don't get this right, I'm going to slap you around. Okay. Right. Don't be a slapdick.
Fair.
Greatest sun tan story in sports history. All right. Guess gone. Here we go. This involves tanning. Greatest sports story involving tan. Do you have the answer?
Oh, fuck.
You don't have the answer?
And I have it on the tip of my tongue, too.
That's right. I don't believe you. Goes back to the year 2002, early days of Fox Sports Radio, and a Baltimore Oriole outfielder, more known as a Minnesota Twin, Marty Cordova, was injured, got a severe sunburn. He fell asleep in a tanning bed.
Oh.
Doctors told him to avoid direct sunlight, and so he was benched. He couldn't play for several games. They didn't put him on the injured list, or the disabled list, as they called it then. But Marty Cordova missed multiple games because of a sunburn from falling asleep in a tanning bed. There you go.
That's right pretty there. Good. I don't remember that story.
It's a good story, man. I can't believe it's been 18 years, man. We had so much fun with that. I was doing BenMaller.com at that time, and we had a lot of traction. People love that story. They couldn't get enough of it. All right.
If you ran BenMaller.com today, do you think it would be better than it was back in the day?
It would be different. I think it would be good. I have confidence I could find. So there's more content out there, but it's more spread out.
Yeah.
So it's different. It'd be interesting. If somebody wants to bring back BenMaller.com, my ears are open. Everyone's got their price. Everyone's got their price. You know, if the price is right, let's make a deal. I'd be willing to do it. I'd be all about it. I remember one of my buddies who's a basketball writer and was a huge fan of BenMaller.com, loved the website. And he would come up to me and destroy me about how I fucked up because at that time it was like Deadspin was big and there were a couple other sites. Yeah. And all these other sites that were my contemporaries all sold and got these huge deals, these huge revenue, like the Big Lead and all that.
Yeah.
And I never did. I had partnerships with FoxSports.com and Yahoo, but I never sold it. The proprietary rights to it, I never really made any real money on it. And the guy would bust my balls about how I didn't monetize that. And he's right. I don't know what to say to that. He's correct.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of curious if your stuff would play out now.
No, I think it would, because I think the key thing to this, and it's kind of like with BenMaller.com, it's finding a problem and creating a solution. There's so many things out there on Twitter and social media and websites. Like, people who have lives, like real jobs, don't have time to go through that, all that content to mine what's good.
Yeah.
And so as you cultivate content and you put it together, you're making it easier on people.
That's true.
So people would absolutely love it, because instead of reading, you know, trying to scan around for 7 million different places to find, you know, what the news is, you just go to one place and it's all piled up for you. Right.
Bam, bam.
All right. I think we've done this one before, but if time travel were possible, 53% of us would change this about our lives. You remember what this is, Gascon? I think we've used this one before.
Who we dated?
Not changing your college major.
No.
Yeah. All right. About 72% of Americans live within an hour of blank.
They're, well, live an hour within their parents.
Yes, I do. Shout out to my brothers who live thousands of miles away from our only living parent, my father.
Well, today it's an hour. Today it's an hour, but tomorrow could be 2 or 3 hours.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, if I go at like 4 in the morning, it's an hour. But yeah. You live within an hour of your parents. Yes,
yeah. My grandmother. One of them. She's the only one that's still alive. But my sisters are all out, and who else? Most of my other family that has all been from L.A., they've all dispersed. They're like in the Utah, Idaho, Arizona, yeah. Florida. Like, everyone's like gotten the fuck out of California.
Good for them. My cousins, who I grew up with part of the time, they moved around a lot, but I lived with them when I was little. I've got relatives in Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Texas, Connecticut. They've moved all over the country.
Well, Connecticut.
Over the country.
Why Connecticut?
Well, that is because when they were kids, they lived in New York. They lived in Westchester County.
Oh, okay.
And so that cousin moved back there because she liked living in that area, but she just moved over to Connecticut. And, yeah. So what's that famous story in Westchester County? What am I thinking of? They made a... God, I'm having a mental block here. Not the Headless Horseman, but something like that. I don't remember. But there's some famous story. There's a bridge and all that. And they lived right near there. They lived in Tarrytown, which is north. I think the Knicks used to train. I don't know if they still do. They used to train in Tarrytown.
Do you go out there at all?
I used to visit when I was a kid, but I mean, they don't live there. My aunt passed away, and they moved all over the country. So
oh.
Yeah, but I used to go back there when I was a kid and go back to New York and hang out with them.
Yeah. Are you thinking about Sleepy Hollow? Is that what you're thinking about?
Yes, Sleepy Hollow. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, Sleepy Hollow. That's what I was thinking of. It's you, Gascon.
Halloween time. Nothing wrong with that.
Full of information.
That cool area, though, that's the nice thing about it, right, is you can go Boston, Connecticut, New York, Philly, D.C. with the train.
Rhode Island, you name it. You go anywhere you want there, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is neat. It's cool. Yeah. A lot different here. You can drive for 8 hours and still be in California. You know, it's crazy. The state with no power and the state with an oligarch, you know, who's running things here. Yeah, it's great. Let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Do a couple more. More people have been doing this in the kitchen due to the pandemic.
Cooking.
Well, yeah, but canning fruit and veggies is what we were looking for. Yeah.
No.
You don't can fruit and veggies?
Hell no. I freeze it. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the same thing? You're just going to put it in a bag instead of a can?
Yeah, but when you put it in a can, don't you need to put preservatives in it?
I have no idea. I've never put fruit or veggies in a can. I don't know how that works. Yeah. I have no idea.
Oh.
All right, this is important, Gascon, because if you ever do get married, you're going to need this.
Oh, boy.
15% of women do not like being called this by their husband.
Honey.
No.
Babe.
Trophy wife.
Oh, boy.
That's my trophy wife over there. No? You sound like a hardo kind of when you do that, don't you? You kind of sound like a hardo.
Yeah.
I mean, what if it's true, though? Do you see Coach O? We talked about that in the radio show the other day. Coach O, his photos going around of him with the younger lady there.
Yeah.
That's his trophy. They're not married, but that's like his trophy wife. You know?
She's hot.
Yeah. How old do you think she is? I say she's about 35.
That's what I was going to say.
Looks about 30. But he's almost 60.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the 25-year age gap, give or take. That's pretty large, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Where's she from, anyway?
I don't know anything about her. I just saw two photos of her, one in the pool and one in the bed. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah, that's
she's a good looking lady, but I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Cliff Kingsbury from a few years ago. Remember what he was doing, I guess, at a pool party, something like that?
Well, it's coaches. The way to get the beautiful young women is to be a coach. Mike Zimmer, right? Zimmer in the Minnesota. We talked about him in the past and Coach O.
What about Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, well, there's another one. You look at the evolution of Jeff Bezos, right? From nerd tech guy to a balding genius with all the hotties.
Yeah, great personality, right? Like,
yeah, it's amazing how much better your personality gets when you have a gazillion dollars in the bank.
Yeah.
All right, surprisingly, this business, it is a surprise, has not been doing well during the pandemic, with visits down nearly 13% over the summer.
This business? The dentist.
No, the drugstore.
Oh.
Well, is that because people aren't going to doctors unless they have the corona, so they're not getting medicine to treat their...
Maybe. I bought
Is this hurting Pfizer? I don't know.
I bought some antibiotics a few days ago.
Congratulations.
It cost me $2.02.
That's good.
That is unthinkable 5, 6, 7 years ago.
So is that because of your insurance, obviously? Right? Yeah. Covered the balance of it there. Yeah. So, okay. Last one here. 32% of people admit that they have lied to get out of this.
Out of a ticket.
No. Jeez. A wedding.
Oh,
a wedding.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've successfully.
Now, I would assume that would be to attend a wedding, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't make it, but not. If you're actually in the wedding, you can't pull a Richard Jefferson and just at the last minute, like, I can't. You
know. I thought being in a wedding would be cool. And then I had all my friends started getting married, and then I started being in them, and it fucking sucked. Because you got to.
Why?
Because you got to start paying for shit. You got to start paying to, you know, get the tuxedo, and then you got to start paying for an additional gift for the groom. And then you got to worry about, like, obviously the bachelor party, which is priority number one. But everything else is just a fucking hassle.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been in some weddings, but it's like my relatives or whatever. But that's it. I don't think anyone has really had me other than relatives.
Well, that's good.
But a lot of the people I know are already married. Like when I got into radio, a lot of the people were already older than me, and they've been married and all that stuff. So it's a wee bit different.
What's your take on getting someone that's already been married once a second time, getting them a gift?
I think you go smaller.
Okay.
You can get them something, like but don't go big.
Yeah.
You get the big gift the first time you get married. The second time, you know, not so much.
But what if the woman has only been married, or what if that's her first time getting married?
Then that's a little, it depends how much you like them. Uh-huh. It depends how much you like them.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, so. All right, well, that'll do it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Remember, Benny versus the Penny.
Yes.
If you've made it all the way here, download that. Tell a friend. It's marginal handicapping on the NFL for all the games on Sunday and Monday.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.